like you always do on Tuesday, because I know everybody always tunes in to my show.
That's right.
So that's
when your show normally is?
Or you can come to... I'm sorry, say that again?
That's when your show normally is, right? Tuesday, 8 p.m.?
Our show is ordinarily, yes, it's Tuesdays, the third Tuesday of each month, from 8 to 10 p.m. So that is this coming Tuesday, the 18th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And John's going to host. It's going to be kind of like a party at the Bridge Street. So we'll mic the audience so we can hear them hoot and holler if they do that. You know, it's the middle of it's kind of, I do ukulele jams on Saturdays. One of them is at the Chatham Library, so that's free for people. I pass the hat at one in Catskill. And so this is like a little ukulele club, and, you know, it's a reason we have to play some songs together. So that's the basics of it. Ask me more. Tell me things about Harry Nilsson. I don't know, because there must be some.
Oh, boy. Harry Nilsson went out of this world in not the best way. You know, he was very self-indulgent in his later years.
There's what do you mean when you say self-indulgent? You mean wine?
Booze and drugs. Okay. And one of his cohorts during...
And this would have been during the cocaine. And probably would have been, like, he must have been a high... He died young, like early 50s, right?
And in those years, he was hanging out with John Lennon. When John Lennon went on his walkabout, if you recall that period in John Lennon's life, his cohort was Harry Nilsson. Now, Nilsson had an amazing career because it was all over the place. Nilsson was really, in the tradition, the great American songwriters, because he could write in every genre. I mean, anybody who's heard, say, The Point versus that song Jump Into the Fire, which is completely different, and, you know, Everybody's Talking at Me, which he sang. I mean, he was all over, and he was great at all of it. He was an amazing musician, composer. And he did a lot of studio work as well out in California in the day. Did you ever hear the song he wrote to his wife when they were in the middle of a divorce?
I don't remember. I don't know the story.
It's called Go Blank You.
No.
And he recorded it too. It's on one of his albums.
No.
Oh, yeah, you're breaking my heart. You're tearing it apart.
Yeah.
It's the last track of Nilsson Schmilsson, there right?
Nilsson
Schmilsson. Now, Nilsson Schmilsson, I was a total sucker for.
Me too. Me too.
I had that on vinyl. It's a super tight collection of short pop songs that are. And, you know, it came from an era when, like, a lot of bands were really popular, but he was just one guy, and he must not have toured, right? He was more of a studio
guy. Yeah, he was more of a studio musician.
Guy.
I'll never forget, I wonder who's kissing her now.
He drugged himself out, basically, at an early issue.
Yeah, sadly. So we're talking to Carmen Borgia, who is not a Renaissance murderer, but a ukulele player. I'm sure some of my listeners actually get that reference, but... a ukulele man, and I love
you.
No,
I love that reference. So
yeah, because
so.
So I have a BFF who's quite a ukuleleist. Is that a term? Ukuleleist.
You can make it one.
Okay, you may have heard
because
of him.
Ukulele is sure.
You may have heard of him. His name is Stephen Merritt.
he's fantastic.
I know. Isn't he great? Has he ever played with you guys?
No, I don't know. I've never met him personally. I've seen him play a few times.
Okay, maybe we'll make that happen, you know?
He's among the best songwriters there are.
Isn't he incredible?
I mean, he's...
His songs are phenomenal.
Fantastic.
And he's still at it, and he's still playing the ukulele. And I love the ukulele. It's just so basic and simple and beautiful and, you know.
What wife was it that he wrote the song about? Because he had several.
I think it was his first. I don't know. I know you're looking him up over there.
It couldn't be the first one because that was only 2 years.
Oh, okay. So it is the second one. We're not talking about Stephen Merritt now. We're talking about Nilsson.
Stephen Merritt. Well, the go-to for me with Stephen Merritt would be 69
Love Songs,
Magnetic Fields.
Yep.
It's a 3-CD set. It's just a super great thing to just, like, it's so many good songs. Nicely put together, not overcomplicated production.
Yeah.
Just now, really about the songs.
Now, on your show...
It makes you feel like...
How often do you guys play on your show, or do you just play other people who play the ukulele?
Well, every month I do something live.
Oh.
And so that's run by me, usually. Like I said, last month we did a set of songs by the Roaches.
Oh, right.
And the month before that we did Randy Newman.
Yeah.
or maybe it was the other way around. So for the past year, I did like 10 of these where, you know, I picked picked an artist, you know, for each thing. And then I, you know, learned the songs to the extent that I could play them and hustle a little band together. You know, the idea with the Uke Jams on the Saturdays, which is, you know, sort of, it's for me, it's practicing in public. It's a little bit of music therapy. It gives some of us a reason to get together and just bang through a bunch of songs for an hour and a half. It's something I recommend people do, you know, with music, to just get their hands on it one way or another.
So how hard is
it? Play a song that, what's that?
How hard is it to adapt a, we're joined by, I think we're being joined by John Sturman. Is that his name, John Sturman?
That's going to be John Sturman. I'd recognize his badge anywhere.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Oh, there he is. And this is Ukulelius number two of the Catskill Ukulelians. Yeah. Oh, that sounds something from outer space. I was asking Carmen, how hard is it to adapt a somebody else's songs to the ukulele? I mean, is there really a kind of simple transition?
It's pretty straightforward, you know. If you can get a hold of a chord chart, and you know, so the books we strum out of, you know, they're all about just strumming a uke. Like, it's not about a complicated thing. So it's you get yourself a little shung.
Ah, I see.
Going on the, you can kind of just get sort of a.
Ah, love it.
So just you can get like a little sample. So it's pretty easy just with a person. It's not loud, so you can, there's not an expectation that you're supposed to like blow down the block or have the police come or that your amplifier is not big enough. And so, you know, I encourage people of even like they just picked up a ukulele and they don't really know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Come over to one of our jams and we'll show you how to start strumming it.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
On Saturday, July 22nd, turn out or tune in to Wave Farm for a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium. Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium will be the 13th installation at Wave Farm's Art Park. And on Saturday, July 22nd, it'll be inaugurated from noon to 6 p.m. with a day of percussionist performances. Those percussionists include Lisa Stoneberg and Leah Bowden, Zuki Legba and special guests, Chris Corsano and Bobby Previtt. And Saturday, July 22nd's performances are part of Upstate Art Weekend, which is at Wave Farm and many other locations. Tune in or turn out to a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium, Saturday, July 22nd from noon to 6 p.m. in the Wave Farm Art Park in Acra.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia. I'm from beyond, and I'm 12 years old.
My name is Ozzy. I'm 5 years old, and I'm from Hudson.
My name is Fatia. I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library. I'm also from Hudson.
And we are here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish
and things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
Today, as we always do.
We're often joined by our friend Claire, but she cannot be here today. But we have a special guest, Azeem, who's here with his sister, Fatia. And I've heard they have something fun to share. Do you all want to go first?
Azeem wants to go first.
Okay.
The story is called The Boy Like Fell in a Hole, and then he woke up to escape.
He fell in a hole?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
He's trying to escape.
Is this a book you read or a book you wrote?
I wrote the book.
You did? Did you learn about writing books from your sister? Because she writes a lot of books.
Yeah.
Is this your first book that you wrote, or have you written before?
I've written books before.
You have? Cool. I don't write many books. What do you like about writing books? What part do you like the most? Like coming up with the characters? Do you like coming up with the story? Do you like doing the illustrations? What part do you like the most about writing books?
Illustrating.
Cool. Did you have any part of the book that you wanted to share? Or was that what you wanted to share, what you already said?
That's it.
Sounds very exciting.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Fatia, did you have something you wanted to share too?
Yes, I have a poem to share.
Oh, great.
It's called Lemonade. Lemonade, sweet yellow, drinking, slurping, glupping, lemons, ice, sugar, water, sipping, splashing, pouring, fresh, delicious juice.
Sounds very refreshing. I could use a nice glass of lemonade right now. Is that a poem that you found or one that you wrote?
It's one I found.
Do you know who the poet is?
No, not really.
Oh, well, that was a nice poem. Very good.
Thank you.
Summertime, refreshing poem. All right. Georgia, did you have something you wanted to share today?
Well, yes, I did, Emily. So today I'm sharing Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus by Dusty Bowling. And this is what we were assigned to read for the summer at my school. And it's a whole school read. So 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, we're all reading it. And I'm trying not to read it all, because if I didn't control myself, I'd read the whole thing in like 2 hours. But I've been reading little bits every once in a while. I've been reading like a couple chapters a week. And it's really good. It's like very, I don't know, it's just something about it is really great. It gives you like a different perspective, and it makes you really like think about what you take for granted. And it's an awesome book. It's very like, even though like not many people will relate to the same things that the main character has, you can like definitely relate to like other things, like experiences that happen. So it's really good, and I'll read the description. Avon Green didn't lose her arms at an alligator wrestling match or a wildfire in Tanzania. That's just what she tells people when she gets the looks. The truth is, Avon was born without arms, but at age 13, that hasn't stopped her from doing almost anything. Then her parents take a job riding Stagecoach Pass, a rundown western theme park in Arizona, and Avon has to leave everything she knows behind. Avon struggles to make friends at her new school, where the kids can't seem to see past her missing arms. But her life takes another unexpected turn when she meets Connor, a classmate who also feels isolated because of his own disability. Together, they discover an old storage shed in the park that holds bigger secrets than Avon could ever have imagined. It's hard to solve a mystery, help a friend, and face your fears, but Avon's about to find out what she's capable of and how far from insignificant she is. And it's such a great book. And the author, Dusty Bowling, is going to come to our school and talk to us.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. So it's like a summer reading assignment that you'll then get to in the fall. Yeah. The author will come?
Yep. And oh, that was awesome. Significant Events in the Life of a Cactus by Dusky Bowling.
Do you know if the author is from the Northeast, or I don't know. Coming on like a Zoom call, or they're coming in person?
I think in person, but I don't know where they're from.
I was thinking they could, if they were from the Northeast or from nearby, they could potentially come to a book festival some year.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Do that someday.
I'm surprised you haven't read it.
I know. I haven't. There's a lot of books I haven't read. There's so many.
Yep.
It's hard to keep up. I can't even read all the ones that I've heard of that I've been on my list for years.
Yeah, your to-read list is never getting crossed off. It's just growing.
Oh, it just keeps growing. Well, sometimes I cross one off.
One or two. Like 2 years.
But I think for every one I cross off, I add like 10. So yeah. The math doesn't work out in my favor. But the good thing is I'll never run out of books that I want to read. That's the bonus.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing.
I have a couple books I could share that I read recently. I read 2 middle grade graphic novels that were recent releases that were both very different and very good, and I think would each have their readers. One of them is called Picture Day by Sarah Sachs, and I'll read the description for it and then mention a little bit more about it. Everyone knows the most stressful day of middle school is Picture Day, and that's exactly where this yearbook-worthy graphic novel series opener with reinventing yourself, drama, popularity, and the friends who see you through. Seventh grader Viv never looks forward to Picture Day. It's just another day where she wears a boring braid and no one notices her. Her two best friends, Milo and Al, don't count, of course. But enough is enough. This year, she's taking matters into her own hands, literally. Viv grabs a pair of scissors, her phone for live streaming, and, well, bye-bye braid. Suddenly, Viv is an overnight influencer at Brinkley Middle School. Everyone wants her help planning their next big moment, from haircuts to dance proposals, activist rallies, and mathlete championships. She hardly even has time for her friends anymore. It's exactly how she dreamed of reinventing herself, right? In the tradition of modern classics like Vera Brosgol's Be Prepared, Svetlana Shevkova's Awkward, and Kayla Miller's Click, Picture Day brings answers to perennial questions of what it means to be true to yourself and a true friend. So that was Picture Day by Sarah Sachs. I liked this one a lot. I liked there's often things where it's like a friend is doing things and you can see that it's like putting some distance between them and their friends who are, you know, the people that really matter. And you can see that happening, and it's easy to just really get mad at the main character. But I feel like in this, I liked the way that they handled the conflict. It was maybe less realistic than it sometimes is in real life, but I feel like they maintained the friendship in a nice way, or resolved their friendship issue in a nice way. And
yeah, I can say that happens a lot in middle school. Like, I'm going into seventh grade, and like, I have a friend that like is basically my school bestie, like one of them, like one of my favorite friends at school. But like, they're obsessed with, like, they won't admit to it, but they're kind of obsessed with chasing after like the popular girls. So I can kind of relate to that story a little bit. But
like, yeah, and I think especially in like TV series, but also in books too, there's often so much conflict that it's like, if people just talked about it and like shared their feelings and like had a like nice conversation about it, like it'd be no problem. And I feel like that never happens in TV, but also like sometimes it doesn't happen in real life too, that people don't have the conversations they need to have. So I kind of liked in this one that they do have those conversations.
Yeah, that's good.
But it's also fun seeing her like helping out all these different people at school with various things, and as well as her friendship with her friends and the projects that they're working on.
Why the idea to live stream? That's very like, I don't know.
Well, in this, there's a person, I forget the character's name, but there's like a live streamer that they follow that they're really into. So I think they kind of are trying to sort of emulate this person that they've enjoyed watching online. So they're like, oh, I'll live stream this transformation.
Oh.
But yeah, so that part's interesting. The friends, Viv and Milo and Al, are all like big fans of this, like, I forget what it is, but like some kind of like sci-fi thing, and they're planning to go to a convention where they're gonna do a routine, and it's fun watching them get ready for that too. But yeah, so that one's Picture Day by Sarah Sachs.
How do you spell the name?
Sarah with an H, Sarah, and then Sachs like a saxophone, Sax.
Okay, Got it. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. And I think that one, some of the comics that the description mentioned, I think people that like those will, in fact, also like this one. Like the Kayla Miller novels, the Shannon Hale books. Those weren't mentioned.
Oh,
I think those
Shannon
two.
Shannon Hale. I love Shannon Hale so much.
I think if you're looking for something that centers on friendships in middle school and sort of changing dynamics and stuff like that, I think you'll like it. And the other one that I wanted to share is very different, although it does also have some middle school dynamics, but it is another middle grade graphic novel, but this one has some fantasy in it. So it is called Shakti, and it's by S.J. Sindhu and Nabi H. Ali. So S.J. Sindhu is the author and Nabi H. Ali is the illustrator for the graphic novel. And I'll read the description for this one too. A fierce, feminist, and fun middle grade fantasy graphic novel about a 12-year-old Indian American girl named Shakti, who must learn the power of her ancestral magic if she wants to save her family and town from a dangerous curse. Written by Stonewall Honor Book recipient and Lambda Literary Fellow S.J. Sindhu and illustrated by Nabi H. Ali, Shakti is used to being the new girl at school. She and her two moms have moved more times than she can count. With her unborn baby brother on the way, Shakti hopes her family has found their forever home in Amherst, Massachusetts, and that she can finally make friends. On her first day of seventh grade, she meets Z, and they bond over their shared passion for manga and pizza with mayo. But the three meanest girls in school, Harini, Emily, and Kelly, aka Peck, are determined to make life miserable for Shakti and her new friends. When Shakti and Z discover Heck casting spells in the woods, they fear what might happen to the other kids at school. Drawing on ancient Indian magic, Shakti seeks the aid of Durga Ma to stop Heck. But instead, Shakti accidentally conjures Kali Ma, the destroyer, Durga Ma's dangerous twin. Kali Ma punishes Heck by transforming them into monsters and curses the entire town. As more and more people begin to fall ill, including Shakti's mom, will Shakti be able to harness her own strength, power, and empathy to save those she loves and put an end to all the hate? Will she? You have to read to find out.
Oh my gosh, both of those books sound amazing. Could you give me the names of those again? I'm going to make a to-read list.
Sure. We had Picture Day by Sarah Sachs and Shakti, S-H-A-K-T-I, by S.J. Sindhu, which is S-I-N-D-U, and Nabi H. Ali, which is N-A-B-I, H. Ali, A-L-I. And I thought this one, I liked the incorporation of the Indian goddesses, Durga Ma and Kali Ma. I thought that was really interesting. And I liked, actually, even though I knew it was fantasy, I went into reading this without having read the description. And so I didn't know that the mean girls were using witchcraft at first. And then at some point you figure it out if you hadn't read the description. But I thought that was interesting. And there was some interesting resolution for how to handle what was going on. But yeah, I thought it was really fun and different than other graphic novels I've read for middle grade readers. I thought that was pretty cool. But again,
that sounds
another,
awesome.
Another middle school set thing, but a little different because of the magics involved. Oh, I see that Azima and Fatia have to go. Good to see you all.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. But yeah, so those are two. I've been reading a lot of graphic novels recently, so I have some more I could talk about next time. But those are the two that were most age matching for our group. And they were very good. So
yeah, I'm really excited to read those. They sound awesome.
I hope you will report back.
Will do.
But yeah, we are just about out of time for today. But I want to remind our listeners that our library, the Hudson Area Library, as well as probably every other library in the country, is in the middle of their summer reading program. So I encourage everyone out there listening to check out all of the different activities your home library has this summer, as well as see if there's any reading challenges that you can sign up for. We definitely have one here. We're also in Hudson, there is a Where's Waldo hunt through
businesses. Love those.
And it runs through the end of July.
I used to love those.
Yeah, they're so fun. So you can pick up a passport at any of the participating businesses, and you can pick one up at the library, and then you visit various businesses and the library to look for Waldo. And there's a little Waldo figure that's hiding somewhere in that location. And once you find them, you get a little stamp, and then you can enter to win some prizes and stuff.
And it's really fun. Know there was the official thing when I was younger, so I just go around Hudson looking for Waldo with no direction. I just run around looking for Waldo with like no direction. I'd be like, look, there's Waldo.
It's very fun. We have three this year, so we do have a big, we have a bigger space than a lot of the participating businesses. So I put them, I put all three out this year. So you have three chances to find him in our building. Maybe even more, because I don't know. There might be
once somebody finds it, do they have to take it down and like move it, or do they just keep it in the same place?
No, it's just-